fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to continue today where it began yesterday, reading through parts of 2 Corinthians, St. Paul's letter to the Corinthian community. The church gives us today, this week, readings, excerpts from this section. If you didn't have a chance to tune in to yesterday's program, I began with just a section from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and following. Very simple. I'll just read it to you if you missed it yesterday. He said, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Paul's talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And the heart of it, the depth of it, is he's touching on the essence of the Christian life. What does it mean to be a Christian at its deepest level? It means I've been brought from death to life by the action of the Holy Spirit, that I've come to a new kind of life, a spiritual life, a life in the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, which the New Testament teaches clearly. The church echoes the teaching in the New Testament that the new law, which Jesus talked about. Jesus talked about a new covenant and the new law. The new law is the law of love. The new covenant really is the Holy Spirit. You know, the old covenant was the covenant given on Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments, and blood was shed, sacrifice offered, that kind of thing. The people were brought into relationship with God, and God giving commandments to them and revealing the way of life. He unites himself to them. He covenants, he gives a promise of taking them to the promised land, that they would be his people. God was forging a people in the people of Israel. It was both promise and commandment. And they were called to, as the special people of God set apart, they were called to live by the laws which God revealed about what would really define their way of life. It would characterize what is the life of this people of God. And it's manifested. So it's got promises, it's got commandments. And what we hear through some of the prophets, through Jeremiah, through Isaiah, through Ezekiel and others, that a time was coming when God was going to put his law into our hearts. And he's going to, through the people of Israel, who he was forming, that he would bring forth his Messiah, the one anointed with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit would really go from the Messiah to bringing to life a new race of people that are set apart for God. God's desire is to reach the entire human race, to bring all of us in as his children, to make all of us chosen, to lead all of us into the way of life for which we were made, and sharing in the Christ life, the very life that Jesus came to reveal for us and in us. And so the Holy Spirit is what Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah and others prophesied, that God would put his law into our heart. And from the core of our being, we would have a new power and a new capacity now to live the life of love that is revealed in the person of Jesus Christ, that we could walk in his footsteps, is what was sharing yesterday. So Paul's very conscious of this new way of life that's given to us. And here in particular, he's saying part of what the Holy Spirit comes to do is to remove the veil or the scales, or what enables us and gives us the power and the capacity to begin to see God's glory. We can't see it in the way it will transform us unless God makes it possible for us to see it. And Moses went into the tent of meeting where he could behold God's face. Moses was God's friend, and God revealed some of his glory to Moses. Moses, his whole face would radiate, reflecting the glory of God. The reason he could see it is God was allowing him, enabling him, and empowering him to do it without literally the glory of God killing him and destroying him. But Moses had to wear a veil over his face because the people couldn't behold the glory of God. And so what's happened is, and what Paul is saying to us, is that what Jesus has come for is to make it possible for all of us to see God. to be united to God, to behold and to gaze upon God. And the way he does it, Jesus is first the image of the invisible God. He's the one who reveals to us the very nature and life and character and heart of God the Father. And then in his transfiguration, the apostles who are present there get a particular glimpse into the greatness and the majesty and the glory that belongs to Jesus as God the Father's beloved Son. And then, of course, it's manifested and released in his resurrection when his glory obliterates the darkness of the grave and the claim of sin and death and its domination over human beings and human life. And Jesus obliterates it by the release of his glory and majesty and the power of the Holy Spirit who raises Jesus from the dead, and he enters to the right hand of the Father. So that Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead that radiates the glory of God the Father and God the Son is the same Spirit given in baptism. It's the Spirit that applies the victory of Jesus to our lives. It's the Spirit that brings us to a whole new life. And the heart of Jesus, the heart that was set on the love of the Father, is given to us. And the Holy Spirit teaches us and leads us to be conformed, as I said yesterday, to the image of the Beloved, of Jesus himself. So right at the heart of the Christian life is the person of the Holy Spirit. So it's really important for us to be able to see that, to understand how God's plan is being worked out in each and every one of us, one heart at a time. Jesus is fulfilling the Father's commission and purpose for him to seek and save the lost and bring us home. And bringing us home means bringing us into the life of the Beloved, of the Son of God himself. And it's the Holy Spirit who does that. So it's the most precious gift we have is the Holy Spirit. I want to pick up today in chapter 4. Paul continues to use the image of the veil, but here he's talking now about the ministry of the new covenant that he's been given, which is the proclamation of the good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we, by virtue of our baptism and confirmation, we share in that same ministry, not exactly the way Paul was as an apostle, but we all are sent ones. Apostle means sent one. The recent documents of the church, whether it's the Second Vatican Council, documents by the recent popes have all reminded us that we have been sent personally by Christ by virtue of our baptism and confirmation. And we share in what Paul is talking about right here. So I'll read it. Chapter 4 says, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. Paul himself has experienced God's mercy when he was going on the road to Damascus to persecute believers, to arrest them and possibly to kill them. And simply by God's gift, Jesus reveals himself to Paul. And at that moment, the veil is lifted and Paul is enabled by the Spirit to see Jesus Christ in his glory, a sheer gift of God's mercy, not something Paul acquired in a classroom. It's not something he acquired with money or influence or something he earned. It was God's gift. He said, so we do not lose heart in this ministry because we know the source of it. The source of it is God's eternal glory, which will never end. It doesn't rely on me. I don't have to get discouraged. I don't have to lose heart because this is God's thing. And it's God's thing he's working out in his Son. It's not something we created and that radically depends on our resources only. He says, we've renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. We don't mess around with God's word. We faithfully deliver the mail. We don't delete things that we don't like. We don't push ourselves forward or our own ideas. We simply receive the revelation of God's word, Paul is saying, as is, and we are faithful to it in delivering its content as we've come to know it by God's mercy. So we refuse to practice cunning or tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. It's a nice little description of what evangelization is. What does it mean to share the gospel? It's to proclaim, declare, to share with the open statement of the truth. The truth is a person. The truth is Christ. the truth about what God the Father has done in Jesus by Jesus becoming one of us, his incarnation, life, passion, death, resurrection, his ascension into glory, the good news that he's offering us the same mercy that Paul talked about in that first line, each one of us a relationship with God. And so we commend ourselves to every man's conscience. That's that voice of God in man that's from the interior leading us, if we're docile to it, if we listen to it, to begin to acknowledge God, to understand that we're not our own, that we have a responsibility to God. Verse 3, and even if our gospel, that is the good news about Jesus, is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. So there's a reference to the veil, which the veil was over the face of Moses. There's also a veil in the temple that was torn in two when Jesus was crucified that separated people from the holy place, God's holy dwelling. So Paul said, you'll see here there's a spiritual battle, a spiritual conflict going on. And he said that some people, apart from God's action, no one can see beyond the veil. We're all blind in some way to the reality of God and God's plan of salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. And so he said in verse 4, in their case, that is those whose eyes are still blinded, the eyes of the heart are still blinded to the truth about Christ. He said, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers. The God of this world is Satan. Blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the likeness of God. The devil's strategy is to blind us and to keep from us the light that is in Christ. And the light that's in Christ is revealed through the good news, through the gospel. And the heart of the gospel is the proclamation of what God has done in Jesus, in his life, passion, death, and resurrection, his victory over the power of sin and death, his now offering the forgiveness of sins to every single human being, and the offer of eternal life to be with him forever. That's the one thing that the devil doesn't want us to see and to hear. He doesn't want us to see Jesus, who he is, and what he's done for us. And most of all, he doesn't want to see the following. I want to end here today. Verse 5, for what we preach is not ourselves, in sharing the gospel, he means, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, let light shine out of darkness. That's a reference to Genesis and creation, when God spoke into the darkness and there was light. He said, for it is the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. What's revealed in Jesus is God's glory, the glory of the Creator shining on a human face. And we see God's ultimate saving purpose to bring human flesh, to bring you and me united to Jesus into glory. We know we're destined for glory, to share in what belongs to God, because we can see the glory of God on our brother, on our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the firstborn of a new creation. And what belongs to him, we will share in. Thanks be to God. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.